Amen. Let me pray for us, and then kids, I'm going to need your help in a minute here. So, Father, we come before you this morning so incredibly encouraged, filled with gratitude, as we were just singing, for Golgotha, for the cross, for the grave, for the stone that was rolled away, for the good news that because you rose, we also will rise again to new life. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we pray that you would soften our hearts, pray that you would open our minds. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has yet to experience the new life that you give through Jesus, we pray that you would bring life. Lord, for all of us who need to be reminded of it, lead us by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, kids, we're glad that you're in the service this morning, and I'd love to have you come up. I want to talk to you up here for just a little while, okay? So if you're normally going upstairs for the children's programs, would you come have a seat with me up here? And we're going to forget about all these grown-ups here. And we're going to gather around here. We're not going to pick on the plants too much. Come on up. Yeah, just have a seat right on the steps here. You can come on this side too. Woo. Y'all are a good looking bunch of kids. You know that? I am so glad you're here with me this morning. So I need some help. What day is it today? Easter Sunday. And what do we remember and celebrate on Easter? Is Easter when we celebrate that Jesus was born? No? Loon. When he rose from the dead. Yes, Jesus is alive. Can you believe that? That big stone was rolled away and they went looking for him and they didn't see him because he wasn't in the grave anymore. And one of the things I want to talk about this morning with you guys for just a little bit is how because Jesus is alive, we don't have to be afraid. Okay? There was a guy named John. He was one of Jesus' friends. And when he was an old man, he lived on an island. Now, would you like to live on an island? I want to live on an island. Depends on the size, right? Yeah. I mean, I think of an island as a pretty nice place. But he was living on this island because that was where Rome sent all their prisoners. He was trapped there. Uh-oh. Miss Donna says, uh-oh. And he was old, and all of his friends had died, and the leaders were persecuting the church. Do you think he had some things to be afraid of? Yeah. And here, I want to tell you what Jesus said to him, and this is what he said. Jesus said, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." So when John was probably alone and afraid, Jesus came to him and he said, "Fear not, I'm alive." Now, do you guys ever get afraid? Yeah. What do you get afraid of? What are some things you get afraid of? Afraid of Jesus. You don't need to be afraid of Jesus. Yeah? Okay. Well, you know what? When John saw Jesus, he was afraid too, because Jesus is pretty amazing. So, what else do you guys get afraid of? Huh? Nighttime? Man, when I was little, I used to be so afraid of the dark. And it didn't make sense, but I used to put the covers over my head, and then I think that would help. Do you guys ever do that?
No.
No? Do you ask your mom and dad to put a light on? I did. What else do you get afraid of? Death? Yeah. Yep. Loon? Yeah. So when, if y'all didn't hear that, what Loon's saying is when we do bad stuff and we don't listen to our parents, then we kind of get afraid. So, yeah. Poor? Being poor? Yeah, not having enough money.
No, war.
War. Yeah. Those are grown-up fears, too. You know what? Do you know that parents get afraid sometimes, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, parents get afraid sometimes, too. I want to tell you about a time when I was afraid when I was little. I was probably 5 or 6 years old. Anybody here 5 or 6?
Not five.
How old? 6. So I was like 5 or 6, and I grew up in a state called Michigan, which is a little ways away from here, and we would go to this fair called the Ottawa County Fair. Now, did you guys ever go to a fair? A fair is really busy, and there's lots of strange people there, and there's lots of noise, and there's lots of smells, and it's pretty overwhelming. And I was there, and I got separated from my parents. I was little, and somehow I wandered away, and I lost my parents. And I was so scared. I was scared because I didn't know if I would find them again. I was scared because I didn't know if somebody was going to do something bad to me. I was scared because I didn't know if I did find them, if they would be mad at me for walking away. And I was so scared. What do you think happened next? I'll tell you what happened. After a little while, which seemed like a really long time, you know when you're scared, it can seem like a really long time? And I was so scared for a while, and I didn't know what to do, and then I heard a voice. Whose voice? Jesus. No. No. You know whose voice I heard? I heard Kevin. Kevin. That's my name. Yeah, that's my name. Kevin. And it was a voice that was strong, and it was familiar, and it was a loving voice. It was my mom. And I heard a voice, another voice, my dad. And they were calling to me. And they looked at me and they said, "We're over here." And I looked so scared. And you know what they did? They came running over to me. And what do you think the first thing they did? What'd they do? They hugged me. That's right. They hugged me. Now, what do you think when that happened? What do you think happened to all my fear? It went away. Because I was in the presence of my mom and dad who were strong, and they found me, and they loved me. Now, do you think that is something like what John experienced on this island when Jesus came to him and he said, "Do not fear." And he put his hand on him. He said, "I'm with you." That's really the message we want this morning, and the message of Easter is that because Jesus is alive, he's with us, he's strong, and he loves us, and so we really don't have to live controlled by fear. Is that good news? All right. Well, I want you guys to remember that and help your parents to remember it sometimes, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more with the adults, and the rest of the sermon you guys can listen to as well, because it's not going to be that hard. Okay? But thanks so much for coming up here. Can you guys thank them, and you guys go find your mom and dad, okay? We're just going to unpack this passage a little bit more for all of us this morning. What I'm going to be talking about this morning is the meaning of the resurrection. But if you're here this morning and you might not be ready to talk about what it means just yet, you might be asking, is it even possible? Of course, to many who are not yet part of the body of Jesus, the idea of the resurrection is strange. It's hard to believe. And if that's where you're wrestling this morning, I want to just start by a few simple points just to ask you to consider this. And one is, could the resurrection be possible? Well, there's another question I would encourage you to think about before that, and that is there a God? At least consider that question, because if there is a God who is powerful enough to make this world and entered into it in Jesus and died for us because he loves us, well, by definition, that God would also be strong enough to conquer death. So if you can have a God like that, then the resurrection is possible. But also just to encourage you to consider that the resurrection is something that we can read about in the Gospels, which are history, and also some other historical documents. And a few things at least are clear to most everybody. One is that there were many eyewitnesses to the resurrection. They saw it. You could have asked them whether it happened. Another is that the accounts of the resurrection that were written down were very early. People were living when these documents were written. And so you could check it out. Another, which is clearly understood and recognized, is that that Easter morning, the tomb was empty. If anybody wanted to stop the growth of the church, which many people did, all you had to do was produce the body of Jesus, which has never happened. The other thing that encourages me is the transformed lives of the disciples. You can read about the transformation that took place in their lives. They went from being scared, timid, and hiding to being bold and proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. It changed their lives. And of course, another reason I believe it's true is, how do you even explain the existence of the church today around the world from a small group of people over 2,000 years ago if there was no resurrection? So I believe it happened. And if you're here this morning, I'd like to encourage you to at least explore that. Some people seeking to prove that the resurrection didn't happen investigated it and actually came to find that it's true. Maybe that's a journey that you want to explore. But for this morning, we want to talk about what it means. And of course, this is just a little bit of what it means. We'll be exploring this through all eternity. What does it mean that Christ rose from the dead? But I want to look at it through the lens of John in Revelation chapter 1 this morning. But I want to start out by just asking you to remember, some of you may remember well, what happened in March of 2011. That was the date of this giant tsunami that happened in Asia, and connected to that, the meltdown of the Fukushima reactor. You remember that? This earthquake, this tsunami, the wave that overwhelmed the nuclear power plant and shut down all of their backup cooling systems. And with that, unleashed this incredibly destructive force all around the reactor, required the evacuation of hundreds of thousands of people. Many lost their lives as part of that evacuation. Many more will lose their lives because of cancer and radiation that happened. When that nuclear reactor shut down, it was literally what we call a meltdown. And one of the questions that I think everybody had all around the world was this: is there anybody that can control this mess? Is there anybody in charge? Is there any way to stop this destruction? I don't know about you, but I ask that same question a lot. Right, Donna? When I see the things that are going on in our world, just last Sunday, the church in Egypt, 44 people killed as they were gathering to worship. Over 100 who were injured. Who can bring an end to war, to terrorism? Is there anyone in charge? This past week, I had that question come to my mind again. I was here at the church and actually going for a short walk. I kind of do that sometimes when I'm thinking and praying. And there was this police helicopter in the air. You've seen it, right? And it's circling, and I'm like, that's circling right over my house. And so I did what we do nowadays, right? I went to the neighborhood Facebook page, And I looked it up, and they said, there's a burglary on the 3900 block of Hartford. That's my block, y'all. And I know my wife wasn't home, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go check it out. Five doors down from me, a 14-year-old and an 18-year-old were caught, arrested for attempting to break into a home. Of course, it's disturbing to see somebody trying to break into a home, but it's disturbing to see the youth of our city struggling, lost. Is there anybody that can bring peace to the streets of St. Louis? Do you ever ask that question? Is there anybody who can make things right again? And in our own lives, I know so many of us, we all struggle in different ways, but many of you this morning, you struggle in your marriages. You wonder if there's any hope. Is there anybody that can bring reconciliation and peace to a strained relationship? You struggle with sickness in your body. Is there anybody who can bring healing to your body? Is there any hope of a restored body? Some of you who are young here, you're struggling and you're anxious because you don't know what to do in the future. You don't know which way to go with your life, and it brings fear. And some of you who are here this morning who are older, you walk in fear and anxiety because you know that your body is getting weaker. Your mind might get foggy at times. Is there anybody that can bring hope or peace? And of course, everyone here, if we're honest, we struggle in many ways, even within ourselves, right? There is nobody here. If I went around and asked around this morning, there is nobody here who always lives consistently the way that you think you ought to live. And of course, there's nobody here who lives consistently the way God has created us to live. Is there any hope? Is there any hope that we could grow and not be controlled by lust or gossip or pride or anger? Is there any hope that one day we'll be free of these things in a world without sin? Who is in charge? Is there anyone who can do anything about this world in which we live? And of course, John, the old man on the island, must have been filled with different fears and anxieties as well. All of his friends killed because of their faith. Alone, in exile, the church persecuted. And he encounters Jesus. And we see these words. I want to read these words from your bulletin from Revelation chapter 1 and just invite you to follow along with me. Revelation 1, 4 to 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who was and who is and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the rulers of the kings of the earth. Whoa. That sounds like someone who can bring peace to the midst of the storm. The faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. What does that sound like, church? Easter. Resurrection. He conquered death. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And these words, and I'm going to continue on in a minute, but these words, I want to just encourage you to see the resurrection power of the Lord, but also to see the loving presence of the Lord. He conquered death, and he loves you. John had this vision, it says, in those intermediate verses there that I'm not reading. He had this vision on the Lord's Day. What's the Lord's Day? Sunday, the first day of the week. And why is it called the Lord's Day? Because we remember The resurrection. He conquered death. It's the start of a new creation. So he's in the Lord's day and he remembers the firstborn of the dead. Jesus rose from the grave. And then we read these verses in verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man. Okay, get this. So this is super apocalyptic. It's symbolic language. But the lampstands, it says later, are the churches. The churches are being persecuted. The churches are struggling. The church, like the church in Egypt and the church in Pakistan and the church around the world, was in the midst of opposition and persecution. And they would maybe be tempted to think that they were all alone. And in the midst of the lampstands, in the middle of the churches, in the middle of your mess, is one like the Son of Man. What is he like? Clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. That's priestly garments. He's a priest. He's a mediator. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. That's a sign of his wisdom. His wisdom. One who is perfectly wise. God knows what he is doing in the midst of your life. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. He's filled with wisdom, but he's also filled with passion and zeal, and he sees all. And his feet were burnished like bronze. He's strong, he's stable, refined in a fire. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. One of the kids said, they get scared of Jesus. John was scared when he actually saw the awe, the power, the authority, the majesty of God. And yet, this glorious, glorious news. He laid his right hand on me, saying, receive this, church. Receive this morning. Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. He laid his hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last, the living one. And he says, basically, remember the resurrection. Remember Easter morning. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Is anyone in charge? Is there any reason for hope? Yes, I'm hearing yes. Yes, because Jesus is strong enough. He conquered death. He rose from the grave. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus is the victor. In Jesus, we see these two things that I promise you, if I can see these things and if you can see these things, our lives will be transformed. And he sees this. Jesus is the one who has resurrection power. And he comes to you with his loving presence. If you come and you connect your point of struggle, your point of refuge, your point of fear with the power of God and with the love of God, you will walk in a different way. Jesus conquered death that could not hold him. And I would say not just physical death, but spiritual death as well. As in Adam, all have died. So in Christ, we are made alive again, is what Paul says. What do people fear? Well, we could do like the kids did, right? We could make our list, and if you check it out, there are simple fears, right? They can sometimes be controlling, but fear of spiders, fear of snakes, fear of heights, fear of flying. Then there are other fears, like FOMO, right? You all know FOMO? Fear of missing out. It's a modern fear. It means if you're not on Facebook for a long enough time, you might miss something. Okay? I might miss something. There are more serious fears that are common to most of us. Fear of loneliness. Fear of suffering. Fear of pain. Fear of failure. Fear of death. Yours or the death of someone you love. Have I covered enough of them? You can relate to at least one. What do I fear? Well, I can fear easily. Am I the only one who can fear an unknown future that I can't control? Huh? You with me, Rachel? All right. I'm not alone. How about, are my kids going to be all right? Anybody with me? That can be a big fear. I thought of this one, not FOMO, but FONMU. Fear of not measuring up. Am I alone? Not measuring up to what y'all think of me or what I can think of myself. Fear of not measuring up to what God expects of me in His holiness. And these fears can be powerful. They can be controlling. As I said before, I think all of these fears are related to death. Yes, literal physical death. But remember, at the very beginning of the story, we heard this news that as you eat of it, to our first parents, right? Your parents, my parents, Adam and Eve. When you eat of it, you shall surely die. And what did we see that death look like? Yes, it looked like physical death, but that death looked like separation. Alienation from God. Alienation from one another. Alienation from this good world that God had made. Alienation and separation. Even within yourself, you get confused and disoriented. You can't get along even with yourself sometimes. Right? That's the extent of the fall and sin in this world. And it creates incredible disorientation, incredible fear. And Jesus knows. He entered into this world. He became like you and me in every way. He identifies with you and with me, even in death. If that were the end of the story, I would have no hope to offer you today. Yes, we would have a God who was sympathetic, but we would not have a God who could change our situation. But the reason we celebrate on Easter morning is because the grave was empty. The stone was rolled away. He is not here. He is risen. Jesus conquered death. He has the keys. He has the keys, y'all. All right, so, Sifa, do you have keys? No. You don't have any keys? Will you have keys someday? Yeah. What are you going to get keys to? Oh, the car. The car comes before the house. All right. But if you all have keys in your pocket to your house, to your car, to the church, that means that you have some amount of authority over something, right? You get to decide when the door gets opened and closed and who goes in and out. Or who gets in the car and goes for a ride. You have authority over the house or your business or the church or your car. And Jesus has the keys. He's got the authority, not just over some little realm of life, but He's got authority over death itself, over the grave, over all evil. And one day it says later on in the book of Revelation, what's He going to do with that? He's going to take death and evil itself and throw it into the lake of fire. There will be no more evil in this world. Hallelujah! Jesus is the victor. Jesus is the conquering King. He's got the keys. I love that song we were singing earlier. Should all the hosts of death and powers of hell unknown put their most dreadful forms of rage and mischief on. No matter what, Satan or the world or the flesh throw at you, the good news is I shall be safe, for Christ displays his conquering power and guardian grace. Jesus is the victor. Jesus is the victor. Resurrection power. But real quickly here, not only that, his loving presence. You see, when John sees the power of God, he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed. And then he sees the kindness of God. He sees the compassion of God. He sees the tenderness of God. As Jesus comes to him, like my mom and dad did at the Ottawa County Fair, he speaks to them, "Fear not." And it says there, I love this, he placed his right hand on me. Of course, if you know the New Testament, the right hand signifies his power and his authority. But not only that, it's his touch, his presence. Jesus touches him. Have you ever been so confused, so disoriented, so filled with fear, so filled with pain or misery or agony that nobody's words could bring you comfort? And someone you love came and they simply held your hand or they embraced you. We know on a human level we cannot live without touch. Infants and babies and children cannot grow up without touch. People die for a lack of touch. And the all-powerful one who conquered death comes to John, and he comes to you, and he comes to me, and he touches him. He places his hand upon him. Pastor Roy reminded me of this verse this past week. He was leading staff prayer, and Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." You know what's next? Who loved me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to just tell you this morning, based on the authority of the Word of God, that Jesus loves you. Period. He loves you. Not but, not if, not when, not maybe. God so loves the world that he gave his one and only Son. In the passage here this morning, we see John's encounter with resurrection power and loving presence of Jesus. What difference does it make? Rosemarie Miller wrote a book, and here was the title. The title is From Fear to Freedom. As we encounter Jesus in his power and his love, we move from fear to freedom. We move from despair to hope, from sorrow to joy. We move to a place of confidence that the world cannot take away, and peace that is not dependent upon your circumstances. We move to a place of hope. I talked earlier about the shooting, the murder a week ago in Egypt. I don't know if you saw what I saw this past week, but I saw a video of one of the priests, a pastor in Egypt. And he had a message. It was to the church, but it was actually a message for those who killed us. It's a 9-minute sermon that you can find on YouTube, and you can read the subtitles and translate it in English. But here's the difference that the resurrection power and the love of Jesus makes. It allows this pastor, whose people have been killed, to say this to their murderers. A simple 3-point message. One, thank you. Thank you. Through you, some of us have reached our destination earlier. Second point, we love you. We love you because God loves you, and you need to know His love. Third point, we're praying for you because we want you to come to know what we've found, and that is lives transformed by the grace of God. A week ago, the terrorists struck a blow. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus won the war. We walk in the wake of resurrection victory. Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China in the early 1900s. And in a similar way, he was ministering at a time where there was incredible persecution in the church. There was an attempt to eradicate all Christians at this time through a rebellion in the country. One day, news came out about a slaughter among the Christians. And his fellow workers knew that he had heard about this, and they went to go check on him and find out. Hudson Taylor, this missionary who had come and been used by God, who had come and started many churches, what is his reaction when he hears about the Christians being killed? They came up the walk to the old man's house, and as they were approaching, they heard him sing. He was singing a song of a well-known hymn, "Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of who you are, slowly finding out the greatness of your loving heart. You have bid me gaze upon you, and your beauty fills my soul, for by your transforming power, you have made me whole." Only the resurrection of Jesus gives you the ability to sing in the midst of such suffering. What peace, what joy, what life. How do you enter into it today? Well, when I was lost at that county fairground, one, I knew how desperate I was. You got to know how desperate you are. You got to know that hope is not within yourself. But then you simply need to hear the voice of Jesus and respond to His call. And I tell you, He is calling you this morning. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary. I will give you rest. Place your hope in me. I have won the victory. Amen. Amen. Lord, we ask that you would help us today and in this coming week and in this coming year to live under your reign and to live in the embrace of your love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to make a circle every Sunday. We celebrate the Lord's Supper here at New City. So make a circle around the outside. Pastor Roy will lead us.